Hello, welcome to Tarsha's webinar on Pacer Hotels. We're glad that you joined us. This webinar is recorded, so if you have to commit it or want to review, you can find it on our site homepage or on our Vimeo channel. We have a chat for you on the bottom right of the screen. If you have any questions, we're happy to entertain the questions. As an advertisement for upcoming webinars, right after Purim, the Thursday after Purim, we will have Rabbi Heber on about the upcoming eclipse, the full eclipse that's going to be on April 8th. So Rabbi Heber is one of the experts in running and times and that astronomy kind of issues and how it relates to Jewish law, and this should be exciting. And then before Pesach, we will have our pre-Pesach 7th webinar where we go through different products, which ones we can buy, where you can buy them, what's new, what's old, what's acceptable. Look forward in your email, you can see the times and how to sign up for that. So today we are pleased to have joining us Rabbi Shalom Kemmler, who is the food service administrator for Spice Aid. Shalom, Rabbi Kemmler. Glad that you could join us. So the fellow takes care of many caterers and restaurants, hotels, events throughout the year. He's also known as expert in book checking. In Russia, we've had him on before to discuss those topics. And thank you for joining us on the panel. Rabbi Yaakov Teichman is the food service administrator for OK Choices, the large agencies. Also, the Organic Administrator for Metro West, first in New Jersey. Welcome, Rabbi Teichman.
I'm awesome. Thank you for having me.
And it's our privilege to have you, and we appreciate your okays, letting you, freeing you off some time to come on our program. And I think it shows people that we get along. Of course, we are in some way competing with all the agencies, but we do get along. We talk to each other, I think, on a daily basis with all the agencies, and we're working together from among the countries in the United States and across the world. So thank you very much.
Hi, the reception is also an expert in bugs and also an expert in nothing too.
Okay, there we go. I don't want to leave that out.
This is proving the point that we actually talk a lot.
That's right. Very often. I'm your host, Steve Goldberg, and I'm doing this for a while. I'm glad that you joined us today. Well, I want to mention first what this webinar is not about. It's not should you or should you not go to a Pesach hotel, should you stay home? Is it better to do Pesach in the home with your family or around the table? Is it better to go away to a hotel? That's not this discussion. That's for yourself and your own. However, you make that decision. You're going to decide whether you're going away, you want to choose a hotel. That's not what we're discussing. We're not discussing whether now is the time to go in a hotel. There might be people discussing if the word is not strong. Is it really, should I be going to, transatlantic to enjoy myself? That's also not our topic today. There's some reason important topics, but not for us. We're also not really naming names, but give me the name of a hotel. Now, I want to cut to the chase. Just give me where I should go, where I shouldn't go. We're not going to do that either. We're going to give you the tools to be able to decide where it is that is something that you should consider. Okay. Now, with that introduction, I want to begin the webinar. Rabbi Kemmler, if you look at the ads, that there are out there for the Pacer Hotels, you do not see, the Star A, usually, the other agencies, the OK, you don't usually see the large agencies. But I know the Star A for sure doesn't give on Pacer Hotels. Why is that? Why is that?
So, first, I would say, just to further add on what somebody said, I'm going to ask anyone who is listening to this to listen to the entire webinar, and not because you need to hear what you're saying, but there might be some sound bites that you might pull out of it. Like, it might be things that you've been taking out of context. So, so I don't want to ask that anyone is going to like the webinar to actually listen to the whole thing. So that's the first goal. I'm getting an echo. I don't know if anyone else will.
No?
Maybe it's my sound. Okay.
Well, we could ask the listeners if they can hear us okay, and then they can be getting an echo. Okay, so that's a problem. There's an echo. Okay, so we can figure out where that's coming from. Please put on some headphones. It should be done.
Okay. Okay, so here's. Yeah, I'm still getting an echo. Hold on one second. Let's try one thing.
Let's try now. What do you hear all the time? Where are you? Careful in America. I feel like the next one is my note.
All right, is this better?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I'm not getting that either. Okay. So I go like over, you know, the culprit.
It could be.
Thank you. Anyway, back to the question. The question was, why are there no major agencies for the most part that serve as HR programs? And the answer is, first to qualify, there are a few. For example, this year we actually don't have any. Sometimes we'll have a program. We used to certify a retreat center all year round, and that also includes PESA. So in situation like that, since we're something certified all year round, we also certify it for PESA. But that is wrong. If you look around, you're not going to see PESA programs with major hospitals. Maybe there's an exception here or there, but at least for the present company, I can say for the Star K and for the Circle K, some of them at the Huff K as well, I believe it's OU also. There's no PESA program that advertised, at least in America, as being under our hospitals. And the reason for that is, you know, we have to go to the future as it goes when we all have to take off the PESA. That's first of all. There definitely could be some truth to that. But the reality is that it's something that is generally a very big challenge. And the amount of time that we have to put in to ensuring everything gets certified cultural assessment in our current accounts, for example, the supermarkets, the restaurants, and things like that, which are certified for PESA, to be able to offer the PESA program is something that takes an extremely large amount of resources and manpower. And, you know, quite frankly, it's just not worth it for any of us. To get involved with it, it's just way too big of a project. You're talking about months of lead up time. I'm not saying it would be impossible if we need to do it, but we're certainly very happy not doing it. The other thing is that a lot of times, and you know, I'm not saying this to about any specific program in general, but a lot of times is that a lot of our policies that we want to implement to ensure that things remain at our standards. You know, for example, non-reversal wine. Right, so no actual no major agencies are going to allow them to work for one of any certain chances. The simple reason is because you can't control it. It's something that's the only thing I know of in conscious that goes from coast to coast like that, from somebody picking it up. And it's impossible to control. So we all have a low quote across the board, no number for one is allowed at any of our programs, at any of our carrier events. So that's not going to work in a paper program, obviously, because people want to have an outlook line, et cetera. So it seems like that is going to come up. It's just not going to work for us to come along with our year-round policies and try to certify the data.
What did we do when we had the hotel? Did we allow non-reversal wine?
No, not non-reversal wine. But again, the program is generally built around as much freedom to the consumers as possible within whatever parameters they want to allow. So it's just not too bad. You know, in our particular example, the hyman also feels that we would get involved in the entertainment and make sure there's only separate swimming and things like that, which again, I'm not here to judge. There's different clientele, and everyone has to deal with caters to their clientele, whatever they're focusing on. But these are things that just won't necessarily work well with a lot of paper programs, so we just don't certify. It just doesn't work well with us. That's why I spent the time and also from their end, but I believe it's probably a lot of the similar sentiments. yes, a lot of similar, but I wanted to interject about one of the ones that even if you say that you're particularly going to love, you can never control such a large crowd. So if you have 1,000, or even if you have 200 families, that's close to be, could be close to 1,000 people, and 2 families decide to bring the case in line, it's almost impossible for an electrician, even if they're 10 electricians, to control that. And once you get that on the table, it causes a lot of heartache on the electrician end to try to control everything that every single customer is doing. So, yes, we do try to stay away. We have in the past, say, five days of support for 9 years. Recently, we haven't. Again, we're not like the former of the global startup. There are certified case of support and well certified, but as a whole, larger agencies are not interested in having to deal with all the issues that could and do come up.
I think it works well for this webinar that we don't certify because people might think that we're trying to push out our own hotel. This thing, we are not biased, we're not no gas, there's no place we can push people to go just on this side saying, okay.
And also, we get dozens, I'm sure, like iPhone as well, get dozens of phone calls, are you ready, ask the focus, people want to know, questions about PSF programs. And then a lot of those questions are interesting for this webinar, just to kind of speak out on the issues that were coming up. And again, people are calling already past the point where they're already going, either because they have to go to staff, whatever the reason is, it doesn't matter. There's no right or wrong reason for someone to be going to a PSF program. That's a personal decision, and we're not here to pass judgment or get involved with that. But it's after that they're going and they want to know, a lot of questions about it, which is a lot of things that we're going to discuss. But one thing that does come up very common, and again, this relates to what we're talking about now, is not with the wine or even certifying it, is that people want to know, in my home, I'm used to X, Y, and Z home runs. Right? Is there any hotel program that's going to be able to cater to me? And the answer to that is straight out the bat, no. Data programs, the goal is not to be like your own home. Common examples would be like, how massive you are on your books. Now, you might be massive on your books, and the hotel might be certified not your books, but if the guy sitting next to your table, the next to you is not massive on your books, and he decides, to dip his matzo in his soup, and your matzo kalim, guess what? You can eat on paper goods with the ounces, or you can choose not to eat matzo on kalim. That's just one example. So you have to recognize the fact that a Facebook program is not going to be to the level of you would like or imagine, envision of being in your own home with all the different home. Again, it doesn't necessarily have to be, and again, it's not necessarily a wrong thing. That's not what the goal is. Pesach, a lot of people have homes with Pesach, and Hagen, and that's a lot of the chashivas of what takes place on Pesach and the Sarah, they have been in families of different Hagenes that have carried on throughout the generations. A lot of them are not halakhically sound. There's no reason for a lot of them in Hagen, that people don't taste it. Yet it's Pesach, and we do it anyway because that's what the Sarah people do. So that's not what's going to be happening in Pesach programs. And that's something that people should recognize from the beginning. But even the most 1,000% kosher program is not going to cater to specific corners that you may have in your own home. And the box is a great example where, if you're not going to have the box full, like the soup bowls you eat tonight are the ones that, and this is here we go, right? So the first night of Pesach, the soup bowls you eat from are going to be okay because there's more than 12 months from the time the last time you may have eaten for the box last year. But by the second night, the first day or night, all bets are off, right? So that's just one example. If you want to pay from, you have to understand from the get-go, it's not going to be your own home.
Anything to add on that, Robert Johnson?
No, not most successful. Some people like to have certain mantra they want, certain wine they want. You're not necessarily going to do that, especially if you're traveling via airplane somewhere, you're not going to have to bring a case of wine. If you want to put a market that you want to use, some people want to go big on markets. These are all extra things that are definitely sanctioned from a logic standpoint, and there's a reason for it, but when you're in a hotel, it's almost impossible to be able to bring along those extra homework that you like to have.
So if you're talking about bringing the matzah, what would be okay to allow you to put in you have your matzah? Normally you can't bring your own food. Can you bring your own matzah?
It would have to be a decision by every different hotel, but there's no doubt in my mind that there are some people who may even have their own rooms. They've been a few towns that they want to have their own rooms. As I said before, it's almost impossible to control. Now I'm going to download a 1,000 people and one guy brings in his 3 trailer models. Now, see, I'm going to see the NFL climax season. And he's going to make a scene in front of everybody. Not that that's going to compromise the loyalty, last off of my loyalty, but if you want to know who's accompanying somebody either and able to bring, without foul, you're not going to be able to bring along the actual comments that you may have.
Now, Rabbi Kristol, who's one of the other food service administrators, he couldn't make it, but he wanted us to point out that it seems that in the past, you could look at the ads for the hotels and you could tell who is suffering. But over time, that seems to be more or less left out. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, first of all, let's talk about that for 1 second. The fact that Rabbi so-and-so, whatever big public speaker, big name, whatever, is coming to the event, in no way should be considered as being anything but that proper. And people say, well, he's going, wants to go to an house. And
you're talking about the speakers? About speakers.
Okay. 1 second. And the reason for that is very simple, that the speakers get come because they're paid to come. And you don't know what arrangements are taking place behind the scenes, those that speaker to come. Now, from the speaker's standpoint, and I know some of these people, and I've heard this from them themselves, from their standpoint, they're not necessarily even thinking of the scene just because they're there, people are going to assume must be close to enough. Even though, from the conscious standpoint, we like to say, that's not true, and you should take responsibility, but okay, that's not happening. The reality is, I know one particular speaker's rules, and he doesn't need any of the food in the hotel. He's allowed to bring his own barbecue grill, and he has one thing, he has one person that he trusts that cooks in his food, because he has specific rumors, and if you want him to come, that's what's going to take, and that's what he does. And there could be many, many, many other arrangements that take place behind the scenes which you are not aware of, people are not aware of, just looking at it. So, that's Rafa, who on the program is not Rafa on the program, it's not the big public speaker, entertainment that's coming to the program, that people should not assume that in any way, shape, or form. That's number one. And also, these people a lot of times have private favors. They don't really know what they're really eating, what they're not really eating. Before Reisman said a story, his father and his family own Reisman's bakery. No, they're not special restaurants, okay? But the day, he said, when his father was actually active in the bakery, he got a call one day and said that actually he wanted to order flowers for a shuttle breakfast at the time of that, but Rivera was going to be eating at. And his father said, it was honored that the Sam Rebel was eating from his bakery, but he said, frankly, I don't believe the Sam Rebel is going to eat from my house. He says, he doesn't have his own restaurant here. I just don't believe it. I'm going for myself to the Sam Rebel to see him eat the flour. So he went to the Sam Rebel and he was watching carefully. He said, I was only with us actually watching to see what the Rebel would do. He said, what the Rebel did was he didn't know what he did, but the Rebel exactly, he cut the flour and he took a little piece from the middle, which typically Rebbe's doing, and the rest of it is considered sure. I took a little piece of Rebbe from the middle, and then he put it to his mouth, but he watched, especially as he got to his mouth, he went like this, so the time he got to his mouth, there was nothing there. So he said, I was watching, I thought, oh, sure, I was going to grab it and took the rest of it. He said, so that's like an example, like, it was saying, oh, Rebbe must prove a rise in bakery. He says, now, yes, they're 1,000% kosher. That's not the discussion even further, but it's okay. Right? But that's not the point. The point is that you don't
have to ask the question about you.
I apologize. We get along with you and you also. Anyway, the silver coaster, that's not the point. The point is that you don't know what arrangements people have as far as entertainment speakers and non-conscious related names that are associated with the program. As far as the names on the program, the reason is a lot of times, and for the most, many times, when they start advertising, which is usually focus time and sometimes even earlier, they don't necessarily have lined up yet who their stuff is going to be. Which is interesting. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But that's mainly the reason why they start advertising. They don't know who their father's going to be. So they can't advertise with our caucus. And you have to call up. And sometimes you call up right away and say, we don't know yet. We're working. We're talking to 3 or 4 different people. They're certified to hotel. And that's why that is absent. You think, you should probably get that in line first. Correct. Good point. I guess how many of you love the rest of that specific point. But the reality is that obviously the earlier the better, that our staff is working with the program to make sure they order the right products, etc. But that's really the answer to that, why you don't have the name listed on the advertising.
It's not because people don't care.
I don't disagree. Yeah, you know, if people would be asking more questions more often, then that would become a priority. The same reason that the speakers are priority, that's what makes that stuff a priority. It's only
It's all the consumer. Consumer driven.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm definitely not going to argue that one. I mean, a lot of these things also, it's like people want to know, the more people who ask questions in general, the better it is for the conscious. And the more educated your questions are, the better it is for the conscious.
So let's say, what kind of question is, let's say I see a hotel, it's whatever, it looks, it has the right speakers, it has the right entertainment, it has the right food. What am I looking for in a hotel? It's not going to be one of my maybe familiar hotels like OK or you know, you or something. So where do I begin? Besides the price, you know, what am I looking at for that hotel?
So, first of all,
you're looking at reducing your chance to let me see what was free advertisement on that one.
So, the first thing we're following is to find out if you're all close to hotels. Hotels are very large, which have 100 rooms, which have 1,000 rooms. The real personal conflict is, if it can't happen, it won't happen. So, if you don't have any non-coastal or you don't have any pharmaceutical products on Huntington, it's very hard to make your food non-coastal or make your food pharmaceutical. As soon as you have simultaneous, even on different floors, coastal and non-coastal, or pharmaceutical and not pharmaceutical, then it's going to be much harder to control. It's not impossible, but it's just your level of risk is much harder. So the first thing you want to know is the hotel 100% kosher or kosher. If not, then you want to understand what type of safeguards you have in the place to separate between kosher and non-kosher. And just as a just saying, the hotel is there to serve the customer. And waiters and waitresses are taught that customer satisfaction is paramount. So whatever the customer is going to ask, that's what they're going to give. And if the customer asks for a bagel on Facebook, they're going to go down to the homicide kitchen and get it. If there's no homicide kitchen, they won't get it. I think there was still someone out there in personal experience with this example.
So I have a relative who once went to Facebook program, was involved in the running of the Facebook program. Everyone knows this story because I stayed often. And sometime in the middle of home life, she went over to it. It was an all-coaching program. They took over the entire hotel, and supposedly there's no comics in the freezer, except maybe the pizza from the pizza, but whatever, we'll get to that. Anyway, she went over to the waiter who she had become friendly with, at Obiantis, and obviously when it means to become friendly with the waiter, it means, you know, they like you. Right? So, or they expect that, and you're going to give it to them to give you the service. It's always a two-way street. And she went over to him and said, John, you know, can you do me a favor? Can you please get me a bagel? And this guy was like, it's Passover. He goes, I know, whatever, just, I need a bagel. Is there any way you can get me a bagel? And then so, guy comes walking into the dining room on a tray with a bagel. Right? Guy's ankle might not see him, literally. They went crazy to figure out what happened, but he found a bagel somewhere. A bagel was found somewhere at a hotel, and that's what happened. So as my husband says, you know, the waiters have our strength to please, and the best way to safeguard that there's no hummus is if there is no hummus there. Because if there is, and if it's a shared program in the sense that always kosher on the property, you know, I'm not saying there's always going to be problems, but it's a major issue that has to somehow be mitigated. If it's not an issue because it's an all kosher place and we take over the entire program, then it's not a problem that's been mitigated. It's one less thing to worry about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's say you find out, the customer finds out who the relevant master is. Okay, and he finds out it's all kosher hotel. How can you look into that level master? What can you do?
So, first of all, consumers have to realize that they have 1,000% right to ask questions, as many questions as they want. They're paying a lot of money, and they have the right to ask whatever questions they want. They should not feel ashamed or just embarrassed or make the person feel bad if they ask questions and challenge him about the cost of the hotel. It's 1,000% your prerogative. If you're going, you're the consumer there to ask whatever questions you want, and you deserve to get answers. And that's really, in general, the model that we tell people to do is that you should call General Mafia, and you can ask any one of the following questions. I'll list a few that can help ask them more. And if you use an email, via phone call, you know, find out, first of all, if you're certifying the program, first of all, someone who's very well known as far as being an experienced volunteer, but what his experience is in Texas, and you should not feel bad asking that. Also, is he going to be there? Sometimes, volunteers are certifying multiple programs. He might be an experienced person, but he's not going to be at the site where you're going to be. and therefore you have to know, okay, so who is actually running the program? That's going to be Monty. So they can't pick up the phone and call him, so someone's going to have to be calling the shots on site. Who is that person and what's their qualifications? And then you're going to ask whatever questions you feel you want to ask as far as who's doing the vegetable testing, which features they use, as well also addressing other non-consulated things like the area of sensors in the hotel, door locks, all these kinds of electronic things. Are you taking care of this to ensure that I'm going to be able to have 1,000% customer test on and Shabbos and Yom Tov compliant experience?
Does it make sense to ask how many machines there are? So
it's not necessarily a right or wrong answer.
But how would you know? How would the consumer know what the answer is? I mean, how many are there? 5, 10?
Well, it depends on the size of the hotel. There's no question. It depends on the size of the hotel. And again, it's how many kitchens there are. If there's a kitchen, let's say they're doing a ski resort, they're going to have on the top of a mountain, they're going to have a kitchen up there. Whether it's serving food on a daily basis at home, you need a kitchen up there. Even you need a kitchen overnight. A lot of these hotels actually have locks.
Right.
So they can't lock it down. So you understand you're hiring a team on a kitchen, and somebody's going to be up every single night through the night walking over the kitchen. He's probably going to be working, probably going to be taking vegetables, whatever it is, but it's
very, it's open 24 hours, is that what you mean?
If the kitchen is unlocked 24 hours, then there can be any amount of
control
coming in. And we always see, the team room is always open.
Right.
Team room is open, and they're constantly cooking, and it's just like in the house when we see our lessons there, so when we're preparing a program of 2,000 people, it's constantly that they're preparing food. And there's a pastry kitchen, and there's a dessert kitchen, and there's everything. There's something going on all the time. And that's not just about the week before, the 2 weeks before, when we start the conference program. There's so many things that are going on. So yes, you can ask them a question, and if you hear, we know there's 1,000 people coming, you want to see more season, that definitely should be the call. I actually have somebody who works for me at one point. He was at the time of the employment, and he told me he was going to work for my paper. And he was somewhere between 19 and 21 years old. And I asked the paper, I said, well, how was it going to go out? He said, who was there? So I said, there by myself. I said, how many people were at the program? He said, 212. So the 19 to 20 year old buffer who basic for the classes. He did not have any experience in Pesach. And I don't know who sanctioned him to go. But these things happen. You definitely need to know that there needs to be 24-hour watching, and there needs to be a team of people. One of the competent who is running the program. Not just, putting his name to it and running for the program, but at the time they say, what do you do, John, for one?
Right, but also is that you might not necessarily know if the answer has been given or right or wrong, but to any question you ask, right, there should be a very clear and quick answer. Because you ask them which meat you're using, and who sets the standards, which products you accept, and he says, I don't know, right, which is I have to test, I'm still thinking about it, I'm working on it, et cetera, then you might have an issue. Right, any person with confidence, or any confidence of an officer should already know what standards he wants to have. Like, you might say, I'll accept any national assault. It doesn't matter. It's just the wordings of the answer may not make a difference. But the answer should come quick and should come fast and clear. Like, that would be a sign. If you're getting answers where they're not clear, then that would be definitely an orange or yellow flag. And we've all had these kinds of experiences when we called up places and they're not prepared for us. If you don't get clear answers, then you really have to start wondering what's going on. And again, I just encourage people to ask questions, ask more questions, and honestly, it will help keep them on their toes to know that there's people here that really care, and it makes a big difference. It really, really does.
Additionally, it makes my students feel like they're worth something. Can you imagine a guy who's sitting for 8-9 days, he's taking a night shift from 12 a.m. to 8 a.m., and nobody talks to him the whole time? Every morning, the guy comes out with one coffee before he's in, he's sleeping in 5 minutes. It goes very long way.
That's true. That's a good point also. Pay attention to our season.
I just want to reach out. We're speaking with our own Taylor of the Citation, with a young freshman of the Earth Day, about Pesach Hotel, speaking out of Pesach Hotel, how to do it properly, if you're going. And if you want to know where general counsel questions, you can call us at 410-484-4110, or you can email us info@starsafc.org, or you can call me okay as well. I don't know by heart, but
718-456-7500.
Okay, there you go. Thank you. You can speak to the okay about your topic issues. And if you would call the Sergeant about our policies, you know, what the, we get calls all the time. But what are your policies, right? Whether this is our front desk or they attest over to one of the rabbis, what do you do and how do you posture and how do you look at it and all these things are always asking, we answer them honestly because, we want to be straightforward with people.
And we're documented.
We're documented, right? We have on our website. We have you can see what our policies are. So Rabbi Tam, you're suggesting that the consumer, before he books this hotel, he calls up and speaks to the Rabbi Machshir. Is it not enough to find out that Rabbi Machshir is reliable from someone else?
What I would do
might be just call up and see, ask around about him. Is that not enough?
Not necessarily, because again, you don't know what standard he's necessarily been hired to adhere to. Whether he wouldn't say himself is also a good question to ask. Now, again, you might say, no, because I have an own personal homeless, that's possible, but it's a fair question to ask him, and because he's being hired and being paid a job to do the data, doesn't necessarily mean that it's up to his particular personal standards. That's a common thing. A lot of times, folks on us will say, all agencies get hired sometimes. I'm not teaching they get hired by an agency of a lower standard just to find something out for them. Doesn't necessarily mean it meets our standards. But obviously, anything that has our symbol on it would be our standard, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the hotel is meeting his personal standard. Something that's a question to be asked. The other thing on that is that the owner has to be someone of stature in the sense that the advantage of having major agency certifying program, which again, we're not offering. But the idea is that every president said we have policies, public policies. So if there's something that happens that's against policy, so it's not going to be allowed. Why? Because that's our long-standing policy. It's already been asking on. It's been our policy forever. When you're dealing with individuals on not here, he doesn't necessarily have that kind of backing because he makes up whatever policies he wants. And I'm not saying he's not capable of doing it, but when he gets challenged on it, so what's going to happen then? One example that Chris Gold has always said is that when we used to certify a program many years ago, which no longer exists even, and we had a situation on Shabbos Kolomai in the morning, Chris Gold walked into the kitchen and he found that the chef had added some quinoa to the challenge because he thought it was too liquidy on Shabbos. Right? So he caught it, So what happened then? Very simple, the phone went in the garbage. It wasn't going to be served. Dealt with the chef, whatever, that's not an important point. But if there's no problem on the Shabbos, Holomai, Pesach, what other food is there to serve already? Right? There's no lox and kobol, right? I mean, so there's some chicken, whatever else there is, but challah is a major item on a Shabbos, Holomai, Pesach. And at this particular program, there was no challah. And, the Baal Shem Tov running the program could, say whatever he wants, because he's upset as they want, but the reality is that our policy will not, and halacha, but our policy will not allow that challah to be served. In many other situations, and I've spoken to other Rabbanim Machshirim, when they get put under pressure like that, they will try to find a hetzer. And whether they're right or wrong for doing that, I'm not here to pass judgment, but that's just the reality. And when you have policies backed up by an agency that has already policies that are set, you don't have these kinds of problems, or they're less so. Like, that's another thing that you want to ask about or find out about from other people about the Rabbanim Machshir. Be someone that stands up for policies and makes sure that things are not going to happen. Keep in mind, they're being paid by the program. The funds are being paid by the contract agency, so it's hard. It's hard, and I'm not saying they're not going to do a good job because I'm not trying to imply that at all. But it makes a very sort of more difficult situation, and they have to be somewhat of a real solid level of erudite. And experience to be able to make sure that things are going to stay 100% the way they should be.
Let me ask a question. We know bug checking, insect infestation is a big part of preparing the food. How can a consumer know if it's been done right? I mean, should they ask? Like, do you use a smart method? What kind of questions should they figure out on their own?
Well, we're talking about a crucial program, not a person in the house. So if somebody calls, right. Call myself or the camera and ask them on a personal basis, they have one piece of lettuce you want to eat. You know, we can talk about how you can get one piece of lettuce cream. But we're talking about cases and cases of hundreds of pounds that they need for
pallets.
I mean, you just think about it, right? For 1,000 people, you need enough on their lives just for 2 nights of pizza to get about what other pallets they're going to have throughout the rest of the time. You need to know that you have a very clear system. You want to do with your system or not do with your system, that's a separate thing. You need to first know that you have a basic system how to do it. You know, so I'm not going to tell you, I just figure it out and I get there, that's not going to fly. I can't tell you how many times I've been called up to the takeoff, you know, share for the program. You need to walk letters for 1,000 people, could you help me walk through? I need it, and you need it approved, and I can't let it fly. I mean, this is a factor that people
want. Why is he calling you and not his own master?
I can't answer that question. I take something. You are not working for me.
I don't understand.
I'm more happy to help people out. My phone rings all day from regular consumers. I'm more happy to help people out. But if you don't get over them, you have the right to know that the person's taking responsibility is experienced enough to know where to reach out ahead of time. And not just be scrambling at the last minute, to try to, when you're ready behind the eight ball. If you're not where anyone wants to be, especially in the PayPal program. And I just want to segue into an interesting point that why is PayPal different than actually going to a retreat for a week? And I'm staycating on a night in a hotel for a week. And I have 15 or 15 more. Why is PayPal so much more difficult? The reason is that PayPal is two things about PayPal. First of all, PayPal hotels, that they're serving people 24/7. And they need to have food available, and the food in the basement 24/7, and food to be available. And if something happens in the kitchen and the food, for whatever reason, they retire, they don't really have any way to pull out food from somewhere else as a backup. They need to find the helper. And I'm not saying that there is no helper. Most of the people are not the different helper, but that's the situation that you're stuck in. Additionally, when it comes to PayPal, we don't have the same health visibility that we have down here. Something that wasn't even 24 hours, you can't really shape up the feeling. So let's say you're in a trip hotel, and you're there for 2 days, and one of the chefs took out a spoon from the non-kosher part of the hotel that wasn't used for only 2 days, because it wasn't kosher, and he stuck it into the teapot. The food is kosher. If you're in a big one, it hasn't been 24 hours, food is kosher. When it comes to PayPal, it's not like that. And you fix it in, you got a problem. Now, there might be some there you can get involved with, but as a whole, you are on a much thinner tightrope than you are on a regular day in the year. And again, some of you need to go, of course, as you go, but you need to understand that you have an officer that's involved, you need to understand that you have to have a system as much in place that you can circumvent any issues.
That's a really good point, so Father, I want to take some of these chats, and if you have any other questions, you're welcome to put it up on the chat. Going back to the issue you mentioned at the beginning about, I think, the debauch in the suitcase. So, he's asking, does the washing machine recapture it every time? That's what I think the question is, right? So, Father, you use it on the first side of for the box from the person that was mocking on it when he gets it, isn't it the football was captured somehow?
So if you don't mind my answer on the camera, I assume that you're asking if the dishwasher.
The dishwasher is attached, right?
But so, first of all, the dishwasher is almost like 200 degrees, therefore, you don't know which dishwasher it is. So, usually, the washing one is the 160 range, at least the commercial one that I work with. Additionally, you may not be washing in the dishwasher, especially on empty, you may be doing by hand. And thirdly, if it's China, he says that China could be kosher. So there are multiple reasons why it's going to work. You want to argue that maybe the soup spoon, maybe that's also. And you all know that maybe the soup itself is a cliche or a cliche, so maybe it's your mixture, but maybe it's, you know, if the soup costs is very hot, and especially if it's, I know a lot of people at home who strain their soup, but it seems to have some fat in a restaurant table setting or not necessarily, and the temperature of the soup may be even more than 212. So it could be very, very hot, and it could be problematic. But if the person in that market, if you don't buy a cuisine or cuisine, you need to in that market on clearance to buy. So it's not really a problem. But if you're on market, I know that if you don't want anyone to put any market in their soup, in any soup of that.
Right. Okay, so that's not really, this one is not really going to help you.
This one is also a case for a lot of programs. Most hotels do not have two dishwashers. Okay, but let's leave it at that.
So they pull all this through all the three months?
I don't know.
Let's leave it at that. So how do they work it?
It's a demo. It's a challenge.
They use the same. So is that a question you should ask? Do you have two dishwashers?
That's definitely a good question to ask.
So also, well, something I'm going to grab the third rail for a second over here, and just you know, a lot of people call us up. I'm going away, you know, with the families. So I asked them, "Are you going anyway? Do you have to go anyway because you have no choice?" And a lot of times the answer is yes. So that's always difficult for them to do because they have no choice. They're going away anyway, and in that case. I'm not saying you shouldn't ask because, like, you should serve me in a sense, but then you have to be careful. Because let's say you do find out something that you don't like, you're not going to eat the lunches. Right? So then it becomes a very, very difficult conversation. And in case of a situation, anybody who calls up after the fact that they paid the deposit and booked the tickets and everything like that, they find out there's something they don't like. So if you have enough clout and you're the one who's spending all the money, then you may have the ability to try to get things changed. But if you're not like that, you're a guest or someone else is going. And you find out there's something you don't like. It's very difficult, and that's something where you need to control your love, your envy, you know, about, you know, on a personal sense, to figure out what it is that you're supposed to do. And this one is going to be something that may come get you into that category, but that's something that is necessary. People have to realize that they might find out something that they're not going to like, and then what? And I can't help you. None of us here can help you once that happens. That's something you're going to have to discuss with your own personal love.
Good point. Okay, Elise is asking, how about the cooking? Is it a deal? So you want to ask, I guess you think that's one question you should ask if you have a master.
I think that's one. But if you ask if you want cooking or not, usually not.
I think you need to light the fire, that's the point.
Right. Of course, that's a question to be asked.
Okay, Zillow is asking, let's imagine planning for Friday's event with a Friday's menu that includes chicken roots. So tell us the optionality policy prohibiting the chicken roots, of course. How can this situation be managed in a way that respects conditions and practices as far as it can be, also adhering to the hotel decisions according to Ashkenazi tradition? In other words, you have both in the same hotel?
You're asking for trouble.
No
offense to the sizing out there, but, you know, then I would suggest if you want to eat rice on Pesach, then, you know, that's to say there's something. I've got a program that is certified to the Friday standard. I don't see how it's possible.
Is this the same thing?
Again, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's very, very difficult. You have to recognize also, and this is something, like I mentioned earlier about the novel, the wine and things in our kitchen will have to be, in, you know, mixed in on top of it. Every item that takes place adds a level of complexity, but also gives them a season more work to do. And there's enough work to be done on the basic level, making sure the fire is still on, checking, making sure everything's special, that's on, except checking the vessels, etc. You know, walking around the table to make sure all the lines are whistle is something that is just going to totally drain everybody, and for, you know, for a reason. So the policy that many hotels adopt is that we're not getting involved in the line. That's why knowing that Navy agency will certify such a thing. But some of the chickenness and rice also, like, you're adding a level of complication, you know, that you know, I'm not going to say for no reason, because I respect Friday traditions, like, and the Hagim, and the Hagim, but the reality is, like, you know, you're asking us to bring something into the kitchen that's not possible to have the contact with the customers, cook it, and serve it. Like really? I mean, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult to do.
So it's hard enough, you know, I'm going to jump with the hard hustle, maybe try to, you know, put the piece down, let the case on in a way that doesn't shape up all the game, make those game promises the next year. Now, it's a different level of complication, but throughout Pesach, but also have Friday night standards going on at the same time. It's very hard to see how that can be done effectively without, you know, a whole new department of Nafkishim just to take care of that.
Okay, good. Thank you for addressing that. So I put up on the screen, we have two articles, actually I wrote them, but one about hotels in general, a little bit, there is a section there about Facebook, about you have to do the comments when you come into your room, and so on, and when you go to the Airbnb. There is a general childhood and young positions that you may be interested in looking at, but let's move on to talk about, let's say, sort of like an Airbnb. When you go and you rent your own, move away from the hotel. You go, contrast that of the time when you go and you rent your own place and you bring your own food and couches, and how does that work? Is that better or worse? What are the challenges?
So there's no question that when you're in control, that things are definitely better. And the smaller the program, the smaller the people that you're dealing with, the more control you are. You're going just with your family, and there are few to no non-Jews. It's a lot less complicated. You have to know how to, you're going to the Airbnb, you should know how to copy. You should make sure before that they're going to allow you to copy. Maybe they don't want you to put the oven on self-clean. Maybe they don't want you to cover a pantry box. I mean, there could be a hundred different things. You don't want to compromise, I don't think they want to come on a blacklist of the Airbnb. As a consumer, you don't want to come on a blacklist because you ruin somebody's host location. So you need to do your homework before. It's definitely better than, it's definitely easier to accomplish the password. On the other hand, when you're at home and you have a rough to speak to on another Bluetooth, somebody that knows you, they can help you if you have an issue on time as you want to. You go to the Airbnb, and maybe it's extended family, and that's your time as you want to, then you'll have a fellow and you don't have who to turn to. You might be stuck. You might be stuck. Or you might be in a hotel, but there is a Rama Master there, there's a team of people there, they're going to take their height. Those are the things to keep in mind.
I'm sure every time from growing up, his father was a love in Los Angeles. He started this theater very late. I know from my own grandfather. Rabbanim generally start this time late because people inevitably are coming to their homes with silos, you know, on pace at night about things they need to ask questions about.
Always,
of course. And obviously once they start drinking wine, so they're not going to want to be talking to silos very late. But you know, again, that's actually one advantage you may have in a hotel over when going away renting a house somewhere, unless it's part of these programs that people rent their own houses, which is kind of like a hybrid. So they try to get the best of both worlds, and not sure how to define best, but they get like some advantages and disadvantages of both worlds there. So there's a lot of, you know, from a passive standpoint, certainly many advantages to going to places like that. There were a lot of issues.
We used to get an extra tip for doing that, right? Other things we used to get like a program where they would rent a house in a development, I think in Orlando, and then
what else?
Where else, right? Okay, right. And then the site they provided all the food. So the food was made not in the hotel or anything, it was made in a commissary and delivered to you. And that way you have no savers. Right, and the food is all buying the food. So I think that definitely has less silos in the hotel, right?
And definitely
less silos in the hotel. Yeah, and we'll point out, we brought up the point, but also Pesach Hotel, in the Tri-State area, that they are connected to a caterer such as Pesach, and the caterer prepares all the food in the commissary, and the food is brought already prepared. All they're doing is they're heating it up. So they're taking a pan of caterer and heating it up. That is saving you a lot of heartache, a lot less issues. Of course, you still need to see more people, but it's not like they're preparing everything from scratch. Everything is coming already from the paper. They're not getting ingredients, they're not getting a pallet full of cost-efficient ingredients, and it happens to be that on the second level, three rows in, the mistake is they should be referring to something that is not cost-efficient. They're only getting fully cost-efficient product, a ready-made product, that's just to reheat.
if you can find out from your Rav Master that that's what they're doing, that's exactly my best bonus.
Yeah,
if you're going to be bringing in whoever tells you that, they really want you to think that everything makes sense right there.
I hate the person on bubble, but what do you think happens when I go there?
What?
Right?
I don't know, dude.
Yeah, the CEO is in the
right.
It's over a case code or case code?
What's that?
Is it a case code or case code?
Right,
okay. So, the last one we call the camera, and I don't know who you're calling to buy it. Maybe you have another one to call them to get more direct information. I don't know if you call the average consumer this information, but I think I've been told that by a certain code on.
Mm-hmm. Is it better if the consumer, you mentioned this now, is it better if the consumer calls without asking all these questions or if he can control his role to call and find out for him? Is that better?
Not better.
No.
I mean, in a way, how do you better for the consumer to call and at least sound educated and hopefully after watching the program, they'll be more educated because they know that they're going to have to face you. Because what can happen is that things can get filtered through the rug. We'll say, we'll say everything is fine, and the rug, who has a million other questions to get back to, also will just tell you it's fine. Or, if he knows he doesn't have to face the rug, he'll say, I'm in front of him on the top, and to the evidence, okay, then we're going to have rug, whatever it is, but my side shows on it's going okay. So the rug will say, okay, you know what, stop off, it's fine. But if you hear that, you might decide, you know what, I'm not so 100% comfortable with it. Now, maybe that's educated, maybe that's uneducated, but again, the fact that he has to answer to you directly, the person who's going to be there and face him, puts a little bit more pressure in. And that's sort of a bad thing. But again, if you really don't feel comfortable, yes, it should have you those follow up.
Mm-hmm. Norman says, from experience, cooking for the second night of paper for one group, when you cannot prepare on the first day, the second night has to be prepared before paper.
Yes, I thought it was a big challenge.
Usually, they talk about a speaker who will speak for a very long time, the same as someone called up. And that's the reason why they do it.
Right.
They get a speaker and then they can push off. They can push off, they can push off the new one.
And they'll talk further, yeah.
After one of them figure out one of Baltimore, the second night, you have to always speak for one drop in between my interview before my life. And then he calls them to call by his brother.
So for the first part, the second night, you have to sit with you because you're still there. The more of the theater you're going to be later, but
it's
the second day. The second day is
the problem, I see. Okay. And since I asked, what is the status of food that falls on the stroke of the Nisi Grace? This is a particular question about Facebook. Did anybody want to handle that?
It depends. Are you talking about, I assume you're saying it wasn't captured. So if it was stolen for an uncaptured service, then that was going to be no business.
Okay. There we go. Okay, Marissa, is there anything else you want to come to the end of the webinar? Anything else you wanted to close out with? That points that we missed or something to.
I would just add that, proper kashrus is also in the hands of the consumer, not only for the reasons that we mentioned of knowing the standards of conscious, but I heard from someone who worked in the paper program, I won't say more than that, that the chef once came back, a chef who works with this person year-round came back, he had been hired out to work for the paper program, and he told him the following story, and that is that a lot of the guests were very unfriendly, some of the time that grew to a lot of the hotel staff, waiters, chefs, etc., complained about the food, whatever it was. Someone said someone even left like a diaper on the table for the white staff to clean up or something. It seems like that took place. And then the chef came back and it was right there or something like that. And he says, I was so frustrated at dealing with these people. He said, I would adopt a snuck comments into the kitchen and put them in the food just to show them. I was getting passionate. So proper mental hygiene that hurts all around is something that only serves to enhance conscious. And if you're looking for the closest experience that you're striving for, making sure that you treat the hotel staff and catering staff proper that hurts is something that definitely goes a long way to ensuring that takes place.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, Andrew?
No, I think that was kind of that was all encompassing, and I think we covered all the bases.
One thing from this poster that ASUSL is something, is ready for its own webinar on itself, I think. There's a whole new level of complications, which I don't think we're going to be able to get into right now.
If you're super gassy, going to a hotel in Israel that has a reliable margin, that's the easiest. I would think some of these issues wouldn't be so complicated, even though they're always easy to take out.
You have to do the same research. You have to do the same research. Again, it's under an unknown agency. You know, again, it's really a lot the same. The issues, on one hand, are more complex to deal with police audits, and, you know, as you saw, things like the Holland situations like that are much more calmer there.
I hope you have an office to call on paper.
Master the table, which is better than ever. The master takes the United States to allow them to now take power from the master. They don't take power from the master, they want to leave that mitzvah for you. And it was one of the times, we always say, it was not a case that they went by, they did not get a knock on the door, but someone already ate their masters and forgot the master's power, and as you saw, you can't be master's more prayer. So, you know, that's just one thing to keep in mind. This, and things like that, as you saw, it was a little bit of a high risk, and it's something that's totally the goal of it, but not for them.
Okay. All right, everyone, thank you for joining. Thank you, especially for the time. Thank you for coming. That would be okay. Thank you. Thank you for the okay. And, Rabbi Kelman, thank you for joining us. We hope everybody has a toast with the mayor. I do want to mention again that if you have questions, you can call us right there. You can call me okay if you have questions. This webinar will be posted on our website or on our Vimeo channel. So you can review it, or you can send it to someone who is interested in it. The next webinar will be in Yirtzeh Hashem, the Thursday after Purim, which will be Heber on the full eclipse that's coming up on April 8th. And after that webinar, we'll have another one to speak to stuff issues. We hope that you'll want to join us, and you can get the information in your email and to where you sign up. Thank you again, everyone. Thank you, and hope to see you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you.